Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Sindhu Ederson is joining us, a director at Northwestern Medicine Immediate Care Centers. Dr. Ederson, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, I'm trying to stay warm, you know, and what I've got on are layers. I suspect that is what you recommend.
Yes, we would, and with this type of weather, we would encourage people to wear as many loose-fitting layers as possible in an effort to keep warm and keep that body heat close to us.
Now, I was waiting, don't yell at me, I was waiting for the bus this morning. It was, I know, it was about a 10-minute wait, and I kept taking out my phone, and in order to do that, I took my gloves off so I can get my phone out of the pocket and look to see when the buses was coming, and I was ghosted by the bus because it kept saying, coming in 2 minutes, and then it wasn't there, and then another bus, coming in 2 minutes, and that wasn't there, but finally the bus did come, but by the time I got on the bus, my fingers did feel a little numb. I'm fine, but is that a warning sign?
That would be one of the first warning signs, typically, of something called frostbite, which usually results from freezing of the tissue. And that typically can be due to, that can typically present as like cold-induced local like numbness that tends to resolve with rewarming. You may have experienced something called frost nip. Frostbite is, you know, when that is a, when something is more severe and prolonged. But yeah, that is usually a first sign of frostbite, unfortunately.
So frost nip, I've never heard that term. 312-981-7200. Please, if you have any questions, call or text. Here's an opportunity for free, and that is my favorite four-letter word, advice from an expert. So exactly, and you kind of said it, but exactly what happens when you get frostbite?
Typically with frostbite, there's a lot of tissue destruction in your skin and at a cellular level, and it kind of causes some tissue ischemia, which is just mainly a fancy word for decrease of oxygenation of that tissue. So these ice crystals can form and cause a lot of inflammatory markers to increase and a process to start, and that can cause like the tissue necrosis, essentially. So it's a very serious thing, particularly in this kind of weather. So, you know, we'd encourage people to take those preventative measures in an effort to prevent that.
How long does it take to get frostbite in this weather, meaning any temperature that without wind chill is zero or below?
So it can happen from minutes to hours, honestly, depending on people's base layers. But with this type of weather, it can happen in minutes.
Okay, so I'm talking about this kind of weather. So if your gloves are off in this kind of weather, you're kind of, it's a matter of minutes?
It can be a matter of minutes, honestly, particularly if it's a prolonged exposure to these extreme temperatures.
Now, you mentioned frost nip. What, that kind of sounds sweet, but I suspect it's not. What is that?
So that typically is just kind of a precursor to frostbite. With frost nip, there's no permanent tissue damage. So it's when you're, like it's pretty mild. It's just a milder form of injury of frostbite. So it typically resolves.
Okay. And if you feel like your fingers are getting numb or worse, because then the next thing I think is actually it becomes from numb to painful. But if that begins to happen, do I take a hot shower? Do I run to the ER? What do I do? Do I jump in the lake? Maybe that's not a good idea.
No, we don't want you jumping into the lake. Typically, prior to seeking care, what we would want to do is emergently intervene. You would want to get into a warm environment as soon as possible. And you would, if there's any wet clothing, you'd want to remove that wet clothing. We would want you to avoid walking on any frostbitten feet because, you know, if this is truly damaged, this can increase any tissue damage. But you don't want to rewarm your feet until before walking. So you just immediately want to try to get into as warm an environment as possible. Typically, what we'd recommend is trying to rewarm with warm water. Basically, think of like a whirlpool, like hot tub type situation, and that will generally help between 98 and 102 degrees of water. So that will kind of get the blood flow going and thawing. And the thawing is usually complete when the skin tissue is red or purple and soft. And it usually takes around 15 to 30 minutes.
And if it changes color to then go to the ER?
Yeah, if you're not seeing any relief or improvement from that, then we'd suggest the next step would be to the ER.
Okay.
If things are not getting better, if you're not seeing that return of color to your extremities.
All right. So Dr. Adderson, speaking of noses, I have a text here about a nose that might have gotten frostbite. I want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about shoveling in this kind of weather. And we have phone calls for you, too. 312-981-7200 if you want to join in. Our guest is an expert when it comes to bad things that can happen in very cold weather, which I suspect Dr. Sindhu Adderson, director of Northwestern Medicine and Media Care Centers, you are seeing some of, a lot of, or maybe I cross my fingers, which are not frostbitten, you're seeing nothing?
So typically we are not seeing a huge amount of, you know, frostbite or anything like that. I think the people who tend to come in, you know, it's not as much as we initially thought we would see. I think most people are listening to our advice of trying to stay inside and trying to stay safe.
That's very good. And we have a good question for you. And with mm-hmm. that good question, Judy, you're on WGN.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you, doctor, for taking my call. I'll try to make this clear as possible. Years ago, I got frostbite on both feet and eight toes, just walking from the college library to my car. And I was in the hospital for 2 days with this lighted, like, chicken coop over my feet. Now, here we go, fast forward, and because of a failed back surgery, and having no nerves from the waist down, I've developed diabetes. Now, I have very bad neuropathy on one leg and one foot. And I, under the best of conditions, I can't really feel the, you know, I mentally tell my feet, my toes to bend. I've switched over to muscle memory. It took me a year and a half.
Judy,
they told me I would never fall.
Judy,
anyway,
that's interesting. What is your question?
The question is, how do I tell if it is frostbite on the neuropathy of the feet or what? How do I discern between the two? Because last night, bundled up, I'm very cautious, and yeah, I ran my feet under tepid water in the bathtub for a while, made sure I dried in between the toes and all that, and I seemed to be, you know, there was no damage. But here I am, I'm talking to you while my car is warming up, because it's illegal to leave your car running when you're not in it. What do I do? How do I extra protect myself?
Okay, go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, so typically what I would recommend, you know, someone with all these like comorbidities and, you know, more complicated medical histories, you would be someone who is more at risk for things like frostbite. What I would recommend is, given this current weather and, you know, living in Chicago, for someone like you, we would recommend, you know, wearing really water-resistant boots and things like that, because that is one of the big things, you know, when your feet are wet and will increase your chances of getting frostbite. So, I mean, ideally what I'd want you to do is maybe one or two pairs of socks. I mean, the water resistant boots, because that decreases your chances of getting frostbite. You know, yeah, and I think that those are things that are very, very helpful. Some things that, you know, anecdotally I've done, you know, I've grown up in Chicago my entire life. I've usually put like a Ziploc bag, then multiple socks, and then my boots, you know, just in an effort to maintain that level of heat. That for me, that's something that's been just anecdotally helpful when I'm like shoveling the snow and, you know, walking with my son. So I think, those are just some things to think about. But, you know, for you, unfortunately, you'll have the job of, you know, checking in and trying to stay out of that, checking on your feet frequently and try to stay out of the cold weather, trying to get inside as much as possible and stay indoors as much as possible, because you are at increased risk.
Judy, that's interesting. I mean, your question is an interesting one, and I thank you so much for calling. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you. And also, following up with that, texter wants to know, once you get frostbite, are you prone to it again?
Typically not. Our bodies are an amazing thing. I mean, we worry about situations where the nerves and tissue ischemia, like there's a lot of damage there, then that would probably put you more at risk, similar to, like, you know, Judy's case, where she does have like a previous history of stuff.
Sure.
She, you know, that nerve is damaged, so it can, you know, make it difficult to assess. So yeah, and in a way that is frost nip, you know, where there is no tissue damage or anything, not really likely. But, you know, when you have comorbidities and, you know, any nerve damage, that can put you at risk.
So here's another text. My husband was out shoveling. So I'm going to stop there for a moment. Should anyone, even a 20-year-old athlete, be out shoveling in this weather?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's kind of tough to avoid, you know, with given people still need to work, essential workers, until, you know, we need to make sure that people need to get out, you know, so I would avoid it if you can. If you cannot, what I would recommend is, like I mentioned, multiple layers, waterproof boots, gloves, hat, try to get do the minimum that you need to do in an effort to avoid that prolonged exposure to the cold weather.
So my husband was out shoveling, it said, for about a half hour. Then I told him to go into the house because his nose might get frostbite. It turns out he was fine. Do we too often forget about our nose? That's a great question from 708.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the scarf, like wearing a scarf and a hat, covering the tips of your ears as well as your nose. You know, obviously not very comfortable for long periods of time, but is something that can be very helpful in terms of preventing the frostbite that we mentioned.
Now, what if you're in good health, but in your 50s or 60s, not your 20s, like I described earlier, should then you not shovel, period? Or is it okay for some people? I'm talking about with this extreme cold, not in general.
Yeah, I think with the extreme cold, you just want to look out for any warning signs and then just like learn to listen to your body. And if there are situations where you're developing chest pain, shortness of breath, dizziness, then you need to come and stop and just listen to those signs that your body may be giving you. Because if there's a situation where you're, you know, generally in good health, but 50, 60 years old, shoveling snow, you know, and you're getting chest pain, that's likely, you know, a question we would get in medical school. What could that be? And, you know, typically we would want to rule out any cardiac issues if that's the situation. And I would encourage you to seek care sooner than later.
A reminder here about frostbitten, let's see here. I have Raynaud's. I don't know what that is. It's from Patricia.
Yeah.
My fingers are painful, she says, under any circumstance. Can there be an additional issue? And can you briefly explain what Raynaud's is?
So Raynaud's is when you have the vasospasm, where some people would get like white fingers in some individuals. It's related to like the blood flow in your fingers and toes. And some people just get it, you know, at baseline, not really related to cold. But the, like, That would be one of the situations that is a comorbidity that could increase risk factor for developing frostwrite. When you already have that decreased blood flow to your fingers and toes, you are more predisposed to getting frostbite.
Well, this is great information you offer, always from Northwestern Medicine. You are the director, Dr. Adderson, of the Northwestern Medicine Immediate Care Centers. All of the immediate care centers everywhere on the planet. You are director. Thank you so much. Thank you. And keep warm.
Yes. Oh, you too, and have a happy holiday. And if there's a need, our immediate care centers are open, so we're happy to see you. And please reach out if there's anything we can do to help.
Actually, I've got one more question, but I've only got 20 seconds, so you have to answer really fast.
Yeah.
Do you go to an immediate care center or an ER? How do you know?
So generally, our immediate care centers, you know, we have, some of them have the ability to make appointments. In ER, you know, there could be significantly long waits with currently the respiratory viruses. So it's like 6, 8, 10 hour waits at the downtown ERs. So we, you know, it's an outpatient clinic. We don't have nurses, we have physicians and, you know, medical assistants, but we can take care of a fair amount of things. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're open 8 a.m. to 7:30, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., but, you know, our last patient's at 7:30, so, yeah. And we're even open Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, 8 to 4.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much again, Dr. Adderson.
Yeah, no problem at all. Stay safe and have a good holiday.